Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys, and I can't wait to answer your guys' questions. I was kind of scrolling through them as I was getting ready for this show, and there's a lot of good ones. The way today's show is going to work is going to be similar to any other Sunday that we record after a game. The Lakers beat Atlanta 101-96. I'm going to talk a little bit about the game. Not much to really take away from it. They kind of sleepwalked. And we're still able to come out on top because they're just that much more talented than Atlanta. But then after the first segment, I'm going to dive into your guys' questions. Where I want to start on this is I'm getting a little nervous about Vogel's rotation choices here. This is now back-to-back games where Rondo has played, you know, almost 2-to-1 minutes compared to Alex Caruso. The other night, Rondo played about 20-ish minutes. Caruso played 11. Last night, by the time you guys are listening to this, Rondo plays 26. Caruso plays 15. I'm not all right with that. And then, you know, late in the game when the Lakers had the lead in both these games, both the Miami game and the Atlanta game here, or was it the Orlando? In a couple games in a row now, Rondo has been in when the Lakers had a lead and they needed a more defensive unit out there. And look, whatever you want to say about Rondo in terms of what he brings to the team, it isn't on the defensive end. Like, that's not what he's out there for. And you know, you say, well, the Lakers still need to be able to execute the offense just in case they don't get stops. Well, if you get stops, it doesn't really matter. And so far this year, the Lakers have been the best fourth quarter defensive team. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Vogel has really optimized those defensive lineups. And you know, am I saying that Alex Caruso is single-handedly responsible for those things? No, but you know, what the Lakers have throughout their roster is they have a bunch of players who serve either offensive or defensive purposes. And Caruso has been far and away the best point guard defensively, maybe probably overall, but definitely defensively. And he's been closing out a lot of these games thus far this season. And for whatever reason, Vogel has kind of gone away from him with the return of Avery Bradley. I don't know really what's going on there. You know, you always kind of point to politics and locker room politics when the very clearly better player is not playing as much. You gotta kind of wonder, all right, what's kind of going on there? And I think in this case, Rondo is somebody that the veterans on the team continue to trust more than Caruso, and he's getting an outsized opportunity compared to what he actually brings to the table. In terms of things I liked from the game, it's kind of hard to like much when you barely beat Atlanta. But look, LeBron is still ridiculously good. 32 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. He was a game high plus 10 on the evening. And, you know, I just think it's easy to take this guy for granted, and I'm just begging you guys not to. Like, that's he's so ridiculously good, and he's doing this in his 17th year. Like, that's the crazy thing to me, is that he's as good as he is, looked as fresh as he did coming off of a flight up to Ohio to go watch his son play his alma mater. And comes, jumps off the plane, drops a near triple-double, and helps the Lakers get themselves a win. So, shouts to LeBron for that one. Big news out of the game, though, is going to be Anthony Davis's ankle injury. He just finished telling the reporters on Spectrum that it feels a little sore. Just described the play, just basically said he tweaked it or whatever. And we'll have to keep an eye on whether or not that puffs up overnight, if he's going to be good to go for this next five-game stretch, which the Lakers' next five-game stretch is pretty freaking insane, and they're going to need everybody on board. But you look at their next five games, and, you know, this is the kind of stuff that people were talking about when they said, well, eventually the Lakers' schedule is going to get tough. Tuesday they go at Indiana. Thursday they are at Milwaukee. Sunday they are against Denver at home. And Denver's playing much better lately, by the way. Jokic stopped moping and apparently lost weight, so that's kind of interesting. Then Christmas they play the Clippers, obviously. And then they are at Portland. And then Sunday they are again they face Dallas at home. And that's going to be right around when Luka is going to be, you know, trying to get back from this ankle injury that he just suffered. So tough stretch up ahead for the Lakers. And if Davis is going to have kind of a lingering ankle issue, that's going to make this next stretch even tougher. So definitely keep an eye on that. He says, like I said, he said it feels a little sore. But didn't sound too in the dumps and obviously stayed in the game, even though he was kind of hobbling out there, stayed in the game, made a couple big plays on defense and, was able to still help the Lakers win. It's just a matter of, you know, he has adrenaline kind of coursing through his body in that moment. It's just a matter of how he's going to feel moving forward. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you guys updated on that as best we can, both here and then at Silver Screen and Roll. I'm sure that's something we're going to be writing and talking about a lot over the course of the next couple days. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to answer your guys's questions. All right, Palinka 2020 writes, hey, so this is a completely arbitrary question because there is zero chance it could happen, but assuming cap and trade logic did not apply to this trade, what would you be willing to give up for Kevin Love in a trade? I assume the deal would have to be centered around Kuzma, but would you be willing to give up additional players or what would Kuzma be too much by himself? So in general, I'm not really interested in Kevin Love for this team. He would force LeBron to have to play small forward all the time in order to get the Lakers' best units out there together. And that's not really something I'm interested in having. And then the other thing too is it just that the Lakers would have to give up too much to get him. The type of trade I'm really interested in for the Lakers is, can they combine Kuzma with some contracts for players that aren't really being used as much? So DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, Troy Daniels. So I think he's a veterans minimum contract kind of guy, so I don't think he even really applies here. But do the Lakers have, you know, what could the Lakers turn Kuzma and Cook and like a second rounder into in terms of, you know, is Bogdan Bogdanovich from Sacramento, is he going to be available because they decide they can't pay him in the offseason? Brian Windhorst has talked about that trade quite a bit. If KCP didn't have his no-trade clause, could the Lakers turn Kuzma and KCP into Robert Covington from Minnesota? That's the kind of trade I'd be interested in. Could the Lakers get Davis Bertans from Washington? He's basically the best three-point shooter in the league this year. So could they turn Kuzma and Cook and like a second rounder into that? You know, that's the kind of deal that I would be interested in for the Lakers, because you would be turning Kuzma, who, you know, while he has a lot of upside or whatever, you're turning him and a player who isn't really in the rotation into somebody who could really legitimately help right away. You know, it would suck. That would be it for the Lakers' young core. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Lakers right now are a title-contending team, if not one of the title favorites outright. And is there a trade that could put them over the top and make it so that they can go into a final series against anybody or any series against anybody and feel like they are the considerable favorites in that situation? And while, you know, you might want to hope, it probably makes the most sense for the Lakers to hope that Kuzma is that guy, that he eventually becomes the guy that the Lakers would be looking to trade for anyway. I just don't think the Lakers can sit around and wait too long. If a clear upgrade presents itself, I think that's what they probably have to do with Kuzma. But look, we're talking about a team that's 24-3 right now. I don't think they're going to rush into any kind of a move to upset any potential chemistry stuff that the Lakers have going for them right now. So just enjoy the streak. They won their 14th straight road game tonight or last night. Let's just enjoy that. A Laker fan in Kentucky writes, "Hey, Anthony and Pete, I'm from Kentucky and I'm flying out on the 23rd to see the Lakers and Clippers on Christmas with my dad. Dad and I are trying to decide what to do for 2 days in LA while we wait. Do you or Pete have any suggestions for us? I'm in my mid-20s and he's in his early 60s. Love the show." Thank you. In terms of things that, you know, in LA that you'd be interested in doing, so if you're in your mid-20s, you can go to bars and stuff. There are some pretty cool rooftop bars throughout LA. I would be interested in that. Look up Club Varnish. It's a speakeasy bar that I believe is in like a deli. So check that bar out. That's one of my favorite bars in the world. So I would check that out for food and drinks and entertainment. LA, though, doesn't really have too much in terms of, you know, things to really, like if you want to go see a show or something like that, I guess you have the Pantages. I'm a huge fan of the Hollywood Bowl. So if you have the chance to kind of look at their schedule over the time that you're in town and see what they have offered there, I would maybe check that out. I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd, so my wife and I have passes to Universal Studios. We go there as often as we can, and we took our daughter there for the first time a few weeks back. That's the kind of stuff I'm really into. But if you're looking for like a taste of LA, I would check out the Apple Pan. Like, just Google the Apple Pan. Everybody listening to this who's from LA knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's this old school burger bar. It's cash only. You can get a burger and a slice of pie that they make right there. It's a really, really cool spot. It's one of the historic spots in all of LA. So I would check that out. Next question here comes from 123 Lala 456. "Hi guys, I have a bone to pick with Anthony. Before the season, you said the Lakers only had like six NBA players on their team and that Jokic was better than Davis and that Vogel sucked. When will you be eating your crow?" I think those are all exaggerated. The only one that sounds like something I would say is the NBA players thing. So I guess the quote-unquote NBA players that I would have been talking about probably would have been LeBron, Davis, Green, I guess KCP. Like, I'm trying to put myself back in where I was at the beginning of the year. JaVale, Kuzma, and I guess Bradley, I guess, would have been the sixth guy. So do I feel differently about that? Yeah, obviously, I think the Lakers have a pretty solid 8 or 9 guy rotation. You have the starters. You have, I would like to put Avery Bradley back in the starting lineup personally, but you have Avery Bradley, Danny Green, LeBron, AD, JaVale. Then you have Dwight. I do think Kyle Kuzma is an NBA player, even though he's a flawed one. Then you have KCP, who has been pretty good this year. So that's 8 guys. I guess you have to include Rondo, though I wish he would play a lesser role on that team. Caruso makes 9, and then Rondo makes 10. That's your rotation pretty much. And I think you could trim that down come playoff time to where, you know, Rondo plays extremely sparing minutes, and JaVale's minutes go down. And then if you need, you know, kind of circumstantial shooting, you can put Troy Daniels out there and Quinn Cook and see what you got. So I do think they have more than 6 NBA players. And regarding the other stuff, so Jokic is better than Davis. I think Jokic had a better season than Davis last year. Maybe I said that. I don't think I would have outright said that Jokic is better than Davis. And then I don't think I ever said that Vogel sucks. I said he was the image of mediocrity. So it and look, again, I've eaten crow over the course of the season. Vogel has been very good this year for the Lakers, though, again, I'm a little nervous about the way that he's using Rondo now that Avery Bradley is back. That makes me a little nervous. But I think all of the things that you have me saying are exaggerated versions of those things. And yeah. But look, if I said those things, then I would have been objectively wrong at the time. Let's go to the next one here. Huli underscore O writes, this one's for Pete. All right, I will not read it. Rondo Wombo writes, I hate the Celtics very much, and I am extremely happy with where we are now all those years that we had the number two pick. Did you think that if we had the number one picks all those years that we would be just as good as we are now or better? I only thought of this when I was reminded Tatum could have been a Laker, and him with Ingram or those other hypothetical guys look nice on paper. I don't really feel like going back through. So I'll simplify my answer for this. The Lakers are really good right now because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on their team. It seems like LeBron came to the Lakers for non-basketball reasons, or at the very least, the way I would phrase that is he came to the Lakers and saw them as a blank canvas upon which he could kind of paint the organization however he saw fit. And the reason I can say something like that is because you look at the roster that he came to, and all of the young guys are gone other than Kuzma. Luke Walton is no longer there. Hell, even Magic Johnson is not there, though that was not something that I think LeBron wanted to have happen. So if LeBron wasn't thrilled, and LeBron's camp, we know this, wasn't thrilled with Luke Walton, and LeBron ran out of patience in playing with the kids and wanted them all traded for Anthony Davis, then I don't really know what, in terms of basketball, that leaves for him to have been interested in the Lakers in the first place. So whether the Lakers had number one overall picks previously or whatever, now I do think one thing that would have complicated things in terms of would they be as good right now. Let's say the Lakers draft first overall and we're in a place to draft Ben Simmons, for example. He would have already signed his extension, and the Lakers don't then have the cap space to be able to acquire LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So the Lakers would not be as good if they had picked first overall in like the Ben Simmons year. You can look at I think Karl Anthony Towns was another former number one overall pick when the Lakers were picking second, right? I think that was the D'Angelo Russell year. I think would the Lakers be as good with Karl Anthony Towns and, say, Ben Simmons? I might be messing up the Ben Simmons year, the year that he was drafted. But my general point here is that with some of those number one overall picks, they might still be on the roster and would be now in their second contract, and that makes it so the Lakers don't have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And seeing as those guys are the reason the Lakers are as good as they are right now, I don't think the Lakers would be as good. It's an interesting question. Maybe it's something that I'll think about overnight and then come back and maybe run this by Pete tomorrow and see what he has to say too. That and the other question that was specifically for Pete. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to finish off with as many of the questions of yours that I can answer. All right, Vino KB24 writes, hi, Anthony and Pete. I have been listening to you guys for a while now, and I love the content you guys bring to your listeners. I did a Spotify wrap-up for 2019, and Locked On Lakers came up as my favorite podcast with just under 60,000 minutes logged. That is a lot of my voice. I apologize. I just wanted to let you guys know that you guys do great work. Thank you. I would honestly give you guys more than 5 stars if I could, but here's my question. Have you ever considered doing a live show on YouTube to answer fan questions directly? I think that would be awesome. So one thing that I'm thinking about doing, and I think if I don't get a clear answer in the next week or so, is I want to do something like this, and the podcast makes it damn near impossible to do it. I do have a Patreon up. I think it's under Anthony Irwin or something like that. And what I would probably do is do kind of live streaming, maybe during games, after games, whatever. But that way I could kind of have more direct interaction with you guys. So keep an eye out for that announcement. It'll probably come here in the next week or so, because I've been waiting to do stuff like this all year, and I've passed up on the opportunity all year, and here we are. I've waited long enough, and I think I want to do that. So again, that's, I think it's like Anthony Irwin on Patreon. Let's go to the next one here. A new 08 writes, Dear Fred and Pineapple Pete, Anthony, you were about to make the case for Paul George and Kawhi being MFers when you talked off my last question. Please make your case for consideration to the Office of MFer Applications. This is becoming a bit of a mission to get Pete on board, and I'm still not high, Pete. Where do you rank Bron and AD in the all-time duos in NBA history? Yes, they haven't won anything, so we can't evaluate that. But if they were a two-on-two tournament with the best duos ever, where would you rank our current two greats for Shaq and Kobe, Magic and Kareem, Wilton, West, Bird and McHale, Jordan and Pippen, Stockton and Malone, Katie and Steph, etc. And anybody else that Anu might have forgotten. Seems AD and Bron are such a great complementary skill set that only Shaq and Kobe would clearly beat them. Thoughts? Well, 2-on-2 is a little different here because, like, it's impossible to stop a LeBron and Anthony Davis pick and roll with only two players. You need a weak side defender there, and if the Laker, if there was a 2-on-2 tournament with all-time great duos, I would probably have LeBron and AD probably winning the thing, honestly. Shaq and Kobe would give them problems, though, because you have to double-team Shaq, and you can't double-team in a 2-on-2 game. So that would be kind of complicated there. But in terms of the other duos that the Lakers would probably face, maybe MJ and Pippen give them problems because they could just switch on those pick and rolls if LeBron and AD decided to run those. But the size advantage with AD would probably kind of wear him down a little bit, and LeBron, frankly. So I think that would make it tough. But again, you're talking about Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, so I think they would probably figure that out as well. In general, though, in terms of how good they are, so greatness implies success, right? That's usually how I define greatness in sports. So if we're just talking about greatness with LeBron and AD, well, that's impossible to define for those two specifically right now. But in terms of talent and how good they are a pairing compared to all of the other great duos or good duos over the course of the year or over the course of NBA history, I think they rank right up there with any of them. I think they have a case to be made. I would probably take them over just about every pairing that has ever existed, because they, and Pete and I have talked about this quite a bit, but they can be featured in the same play in ways that a lot of the other duos in NBA history can't. So, you know, like Stockton and Malone, yeah. Stockton and Malone were featured here, right, or mentioned in this list. Well, what made them great was that they had that pick and roll together, which made both of those guys better players, right? The Bulls pairing with Pippen and Jordan, well, they didn't really run pick and roll together. It didn't make much sense. And we kind of we hear that about the Clippers duo right now, that Kawhi and Paul George were still waiting for their two-man game to click. And it's like, well, why would they run pick and roll with just those two guys when you would just switch that anyway? They're the same size. And if you want to matchup hunt, well, then generally speaking, you could just matchup hunt by just giving the other guy the ball who has the easier matchup to score on, right? So, and then, you know, you look at the other ones like Magic and Kareem, they were different sizes, but they didn't run, nobody really thinks of those guys as a pick and roll combination. Shaq and Kobe could have run pick and roll, and Shaq probably would have been really good at it too. But that wasn't something that they did a ton of back when they were together. LeBron and AD, though, You can run that pick and roll together, and I don't know how you stop it. And if you are going to try to stop it, it's going to be with some kind of weak side defense. And if Danny Green is out of the shooting slump by then, which, you know, he's not shooting the ball very well this season compared to expectations. But if the Lakers have proper spacing around LeBron and around AD, then I don't really know how you guard that tandem. So, yeah, it's impossible to answer the greatness aspect of them as a duo, but in terms of overall talent, they're as good as any pair of basketball teammates that have ever existed. Kittlefinger writes, "Hey guys, love the show. I was thinking about a potential Lakers-Clippers series and the matchups between the teams. Since the Lakers aren't probably getting another wing defender, am I crazy to think that Green guards Paul George and AD can guard Kawhi for an entire series? AD is strong enough to not get moved and quick enough where Kawhi won't blow past him every time. It seems like the best option at the moment unless Caruso puts on 20 pounds of muscle by May." Well, the NBA league office seems to think that that's possible with Caruso, that he could just put on that kind of muscle mass and he gets drug tested. In terms of the actual question, though, I wouldn't have AD spend too much time on either Paul George or Kawhi, because AD is the only true matchup problem that the Lakers have for the Clippers. They don't have anybody to guard AD. And if Davis gets into foul trouble guarding either Kawhi or Paul George, well, then now the Lakers' best chance at matchup problems for the Clippers is now sitting on the sideline. So I would probably stay away from AD guarding there. I disagree with the premise in that I do think it's possible that the Lakers pick up another wing defender over the course of the season. Somebody's going to get bought out. And maybe it isn't Iguodala, and maybe it's, you know, somebody who's, you know, 80 cents on the dollar or 75 cents on the dollar that is Iguodala. But at some point, the Lakers are probably going to find somebody to fill that role. It's just a matter of who and how comfortable Frank Vogel and the Lakers are with that player in that kind of a spot. But I would probably avoid using AD on either of those guys for fear of foul trouble. Let's go one or two more questions here. Nikki Ivy writes, "Love the pod, fellas. Question. If the Lakers have two routes to make a... The Lakers seem to have two routes to make a midseason trade. Danny Green plus filler for Kuzma, Danny Green plus filler or Kuzma plus filler. Are there any trades these combinations can feasibly net of any interest to you guys? Personally, I'm starting to think Kuz is more and more expendable every game I watch. How do you feel about either Kuz plus Cook in a second rounder for Bertans or Kuz plus Cook in a second rounder for Bogdan Bogdanovic?" I answered this earlier almost specifically, but I will say this. We don't really know what the Lakers would be able to get for Kuzma and filler or even Danny Green and filler because the market hasn't really been set quite yet. Every single year, the market gets set by some trade, and the other trades or the other deals that go down seem to match something close to that kind of value. And seeing as there hasn't been a trade yet this year, we don't really know what that's going to look like. So we'll see what that looks like. I do think, so heading into the year, the thinking was because there was going to be so many teams vying for the championship and or the playoffs, because we thought that there were going to be so many of them and that parity was going to be such a big thing this year, that the market might be a seller's market. But as we've kind of seen, there's been quite a few teams that have kind of fallen by the wayside. And I think that it's going to be more of a buyer's market than we thought heading into the year. So that's something to keep an eye on. Let's go one more question here before my voice gives out completely. Mark Zaff writes, "A little long, so sorry, but I'm from San Diego, so I pretty much expect losses or upsets from the Padres and the football team that was here. I also started being a Laker fan Dwight Mayer season, so finally it feels nice to be on the winning side for once, even if it's not a San Diego team. Also appreciate the Petco Park Stadium shout-out. Keep up the good work. What jersey should I get this season if both Davis and LeBron are changing colors? I would probably avoid getting either of those guys' jerseys. It'd be one thing if, like, the city jersey was so incredible that you had to get it for fear of, you know, missing out on it. So, like, I kind of regret not buying one of those light blue MPLS jerseys from a couple years ago. That was kind of a bummer to miss out on that. But, like, last year they had that ugly Now and Later purple jersey that they designed after Magic. I wasn't really interested in buying that. So I would probably hold tight on buying a jersey right now. And then wait to see what the city jersey looks like next year, because I don't really think the jersey is going to change that much from year to year from this point on. And seeing as the numbers are going to change, I don't know if you want to have like Anthony Davis's number 3 jersey and then eventually their number 6 jersey. Or 23 jersey. I don't really know how interested in that you might be. Is he wearing 6 or 3? I forget. It's been a long year. Anywho, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Pete will be back tomorrow. I'll probably go back and answer a couple of these questions with him as well. Fun week ahead for the Lakers this week. Christmas is right around the corner, so you're going to have that Clippers matchup on its way in about 9 or 10 days or so. Thursday marks probably one of the games of the year with facing Milwaukee. A lot of fun stuff ahead. Make sure you guys continue to check out, rate, review, subscribe, follow Locked On Lakers on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can find me on there at Anthony Irwin LA. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.